And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus 106 in the afternoon on this Tuesday, December 3rd. Temperatures outside right around the 20 degree mark. Things will get a little better before they get a lot worse. More on that in a couple of minutes here. We'll run down the forecast. But first, we want to let you know that we are giving away. Did you hear what we're giving away, Bridget?
It's pretty cool, but you and I have nothing to do with going. We don't get to qualify.
Wait. I thought we were chaperones on this trip. That might not be a good idea.
I've chaperoned trips before. I will tell you it's easier to high school chaperones, or it is easier to chaperone high schoolers than it is adults. That's very much the case.
No doubt about it. But over the next month, we're going to be giving away a chance for you to win a trip to see the Eagles in Vegas at the Sphere. And have you ever been there?
No, but I have had lots of messages sent to me from folks who've been at the Sphere forever, particularly for the Eagles. And it looks awesome. So Thanks to those folks who are on Snapchat, where I don't have to go to concerts. They just send me the pictures.
Right.
It's been working out great. And it looks like the Eagles are wonderful.
Yeah. And so we're going to give you a chance to win Desperado Vegas Dream Trip presented by American Security and Gate. And it's a round trip airfare for two from Fargo to Vegas. Hotel stay, two tickets to see the Eagles on Saturday, January 25th at the Sphere, and $500 spending cash as well.
We just announced this yesterday on Jay's show.
We did.
And we get to start taking qualifiers. It won't be every day on our show.
It won't be every day on our show, but today I'll just tell you right now, listen for the sounder.
What's the sounder going to be? You don't have to play it, but just what's the sounder sound
you'll
like?
Know it.
Okay.
You'll know it.
Okay.
It's basically the announcer telling you to call in for your chance to win.
Okay.
So, again, we'll be doing that sometime later today in our show. And if you don't get a chance to call in, you also can qualify at Alsager Meats this Thursday from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. You can register there. El Gave on Monday, December 16th from 4 to 6, or Top Shelf Tavern Wednesday, December 18th from 4 to 6.
So since we don't have a qualifier every day on our show, and it's going to be different shows have different times to qualify, that means you just got to pay close attention.
You never
know when it's going to happen. I can't wait to hear the announcer say it's time to call in.
Yeah.
Nobody asked me to do that in my big announcer voice. That's probably because I currently sound like Minnie Mouse with a two-pack-a-day Marlboro habit. So I'm going to see if I can change that down the road. Maybe I get a little bit better with this.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well,
did you know Minnie Mouse has a two-pack-a-day Marlboro habit?
I did not know that. I didn't even know she smoked. But hey, you know.
She's smoking hot, according to Mickey.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what.
Cough medicine's kicking in. Can you tell?
I wish we had hot weather kicking in. That's for sure. We have got
some. Hey, I got to drive tomorrow.
No, you don't.
Good God.
You're going to be staying home tomorrow, Bridget.
Tell me more.
You are going to be staying home. As we've got some pretty nasty weather. National Weather Service just issued a winter storm watch for tomorrow for the Fargo area and northward. You go out, you go south of Fargo, and you go east into Lakes Country, and we're looking at a winter weather advisory. It's going to be bad all around us, but the worst conditions, valley, northward, and just west of the valley. As you get towards Jamestown and west of Jamestown, things will improve, but I'll tell you, it's going to be a rough one tomorrow. Today, not a bad one. Partly cloudy skies. We got temperatures right around 20. We'll top out in the mid to upper 20s this afternoon with south winds about 10 to 25. Tonight, cloudy, breezy. We'll see temperatures steady to slowly rise as we head towards midnight as a warm front moves through. It won't last long, maybe for an hour or so. Then the cold front slams through after midnight. We'll see the northwest winds increasing and temperatures falling as we head throughout the night. And those temperatures will continue to fall tomorrow as we have blowing snow. We'll have snow showers in the morning that could total up to about a half inch to inch. So we've got about 4 inches on the ground. We could get another half inch to an inch to blow around. Near zero visibility at times tomorrow with winds out of the northwest 30 to 45 and gusting up to 50 at times. With temperatures in the single digits tomorrow, wind chills between 10 and 20 below. Tomorrow is not going to be a pretty day, to say the least. So if you have any chores you got to do, get them done today. It's going to be a quick-moving storm. And again, the main threat is the wind causing the blowing and drifting of the snow and near zero visibility. Things will quiet down tomorrow night. We'll drop down to about 5 below. And then partly sunny, less wind on Thursday as high pressure builds overhead with highs in the teens. And then we'll warm it up into the low 20s, it looks like, on Friday. And then the weekend, Bridget, for you, for tailgating, it looks really nice. We're looking at mid, maybe upper 30s on Saturday and Sunday. Mid-30s for sure. A little breezy out of the southwest, but I think we can handle a little breeze when it's mild.
Okay. Well, I'm fine with that. Let's back up, though. When is it going to start to rain tonight?
Okay, no rain.
Thank you. Okay. Drizzle?
Yeah, I'm thinking more snow showers. Now, okay. At the onset, if it falls right when that temperature is right around that 32-degree mark, there could be a little light wintry mix, but that's not going to be the issue. The issue is going to be the winds ramping up. And
when do the winds start tomorrow?
Those will start overnight.
Oh, and good.
As we get toward, yeah, we'll be waking up to it.
See, here's the thing. I got to recap this for those of us who are A, not paying attention, B, who really need to hear things twice, and C, we have to do this because it matters. We have I live in a community where we have a huge amount of commuters.
Right.
And when I wake up in the morning and folks are like, wow, I wasn't expecting this, I'm thinking, where have you been?
Right.
So
yeah.
That's so why we do this.
Yeah, we're giving you a heads up.
Slow learners, write it down.
Originally, we were thinking that this would affect a little after the morning commute. This thing's coming in a little quicker. And so I think the morning and the afternoon commute are going to be affected. As we get towards evening, it's still not going to be any, it's kind of going to be no picnic, but it will start to improve a touch towards 5-6 o'clock, but not by much.
Everybody on the live stream is watching my reaction and they can tell I'm less than impressed.
Yes. So. You might be working from home tomorrow.
Highly underwhelmed. It's going to be hard to do that with some of the events I got going on tomorrow.
Well, do you think those events will still be going on?
Potentially. And you could have called about this like a week ago so I could have put in my bid on what I wanted for weather.
Could have, right?
Yeah. You'll notice I'm not letting you off the hook on this weather thing. Hey, I only got one weather guy to abuse these days and you're it.
I don't blame you. And I was messaging a couple of colleagues saying, well, this one should be interesting when it comes in cycle two. Later in cycle two, in the LRC cycle. So, you know.
When's that going to be, Dean?
Well, as soon as we get our calendar put together, we will let you know. But we are seeing signs that the first cycle is almost done, and we're going to start almost ready to jump into cycle two here over the next few days. So that's good news there. We'll be able to get our calendar set and be able to give you the rest of the outlook for the upcoming winter. And again, if you watched our special, we did post, and I posted online just the other day, I wrote an article on when our peak times are likely for stormier conditions, right, based on the information that we have right now, and when the quieter times will be. So we're about ready to go into a more active part of the LRC cycle here. So expect that between now and Christmas. I'm not saying every storm is going to hit us, but we will start to go into more active part of the cycle through Christmas before things quiet down. It looks like Christmas through the New Year's, which is good news for travel. Good news for people traveling then as well.
Well, I think so. Yeah. But I was over at the North Dakota Ag Association's trade show earlier today, and we had several discussions about the fact that, you know, last year we just got used to being the fact that we could go everywhere, especially because the year before we couldn't hardly get anywhere.
Right, yeah.
The other day, Sunday, when came in for Jace's benefit and started driving, needed to put my vehicle in four-wheel drive. And it makes a lot of noise in four-wheel drive that it shouldn't.
Because it hasn't been used,
probably. Yeah, but I didn't know that a year ago because I hardly ever used my four-wheel drive. So I'm like, well, rats, now I got to get this fixed.
Get that service. That take care of.
And I can't wait to go to the mechanic and go, it sounds like a zip tie is wrapped around my front tire. Can you fix that? Hey, if you're going to go in, you got to give them descriptions. You can't just say it makes noise.
That would be one way to put it.
This is what I got to do. So I'm giving them a heads up.
Oh, man. Well, we're coming up on break here, and we've got a guest on today, Jeremy Geske, right? Mm-hmm. From North Dakota Lamb and Wool Convention.
So Jeremy's coming to town for the convention that's coming up in a few days. First of all, did you know there's a Lamb and Wool Convention?
I had no clue.
See? This is why we have guests like this. So with Jeremy has been a long time livestock judge and official. And he's also raised sheep. So we're going to talk about some of the components of that. Why? What do they do? And when I think about lamb and wool, 4-H has a contest where kids actually have to take wool and create designs and fashion. And maybe he can talk a little bit about that as well. But sheep is not a livestock species. No. We hear many people talk about. Mm-hmm. We've had sheep shearers on, that type of thing. But I think Jeremy's going to give us just a little different perspective And I'm going to write down a lot of questions so that you can ask them when I sound like this.
Okay.
Either that or one of us is going to drink a lot more on the break.
Well, let's head to break. Let's head to break here before Bridget loses her voice.
American Ag Network is going to come in with markets, and we'll get an update from them. And then when we return, as Dean said, we'll have Jeremy Geske join us. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, where Bridget talks as long as her voice allows her to. So it'll get better, I swear. But you know what might help? Because if I were watching on the live stream right now, I would probably want to also tune in, whether it's on Facebook, YouTube, or Acres TV, and just send me those messages of encouragement that it's all going to sound fine. Things are coming along great. And you know what would be awesome is also if you just give us a call with questions on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. Maybe I need some North Coast Sweet Crude from Art, as an Art could help me out with this little voice thing and make it a little smoother, because the Sweet Crude's pretty smooth.
That would help out, for sure.
That'd be all right.
Are you kidding?
All right. So we're joined today by our guest who we can see on the live stream, and that's Jeremy Geske. So, Jeremy, first of all, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I've actually had Jeremy on once before. We talked about sheep production, but it's been a while, and it's not a species that we get enough emphasis on, which is too bad, because personally, as someone who gets lamb from a couple of sources, they're cute and they're fuzzy, but better yet, they're very tasty when you cook them just right. So we'll probably get to that part of the discussion too. But Jeremy, describe your role today before we even get to talking about the convention.
So I, besides raising sheep, my off-the-farm job is I work for Minnesota State University Mankato as director of the Institute for Regenerative Resources and Agri-Sciences, which is a fancy title for someone who raises money in support for a new and emerging ag degree program here at Minnesota State.
Well, I like the fact that there's new and emerging ag degree programs, because we can't have too many people in this business, right?
Correct. We've got a big demand for employment in this area related to agriculture, and not enough workers to fill all those jobs.
So you have been a long time career in ag, which started in your college days at NDSU. And that's probably the best way to talk about your connection to lamb and wool.
Sure. So I grew up in North Dakota, just south of Carrington, on a ranch. My dad and I raised registered Suffolk sheep, and my grandpa had commercial cattle, and I've been involved in the sheep industry since the time I could walk out to the barn, maintained that flock as I moved to Minnesota, and almost every sheep I own can still be traced back to those original genetics I started with back in the 70s.
Wow.
By the way, is that common that folks keep the genetics? I think of it in beef as a yes, but is that as common in sheep?
I would say on the purebred side, absolutely. Okay. If that's kind of what we've grown up with, it's always, I mean, obviously you bring in new genetics periodically, particularly on the male side or the sire side, but kind of maintaining your own genetic base is, I think, pretty common in any of the purebred livestock and especially sheep as well.
All right. As a guy who's been around sheep for so long, and when it comes time to judge, what are you looking for? I mean, I did some livestock judging in high school, so I'm familiar with looking at beef. We judge hogs. Frankly, I will admit this, my livestock judging career was mostly because I heard there were guys judging livestock, and I thought I should check that out. You know, when you're a high school girl, you're willing to look at what's going on around the arena. But what were you doing when you were judging for sheep? What are you looking for?
So with any, you know, sheep are not that different from any of our other livestock species. As a judge, obviously, growing up with commercial cattle background as well as a purebred sheep business that really focused on our commercial customers, I always try to take a really practical approach to evaluating sheep and other livestock, structural soundness, functionality, production traits, and then obviously, you have some of the show ring appeal type things that will help you split the differences on some close placings. But just real basic, whether it's sheep or cattle or goats or whatever I happen to be judging, structural soundness, functional traits such as capacity, production ability, those are the things that I put most of my emphasis on.
When you think about the sheep industry across the U.S., I would venture a guess in the last 20 years, it's changed tremendously. Would that be fair to say that we maybe don't have the herd number or the flock numbers that we once did? Or do I just not see them as frequently?
It has changed a bit, particularly from, you know, if you go back a little farther, you used to see, at least when I was a kid, you know, in the neighborhood, almost every farm had a small flock of sheep. And that has gone away. Our numbers have declined nationwide a little bit. We've got some larger flocks out west, more farm flocks here in the Midwest. So I would say in some ways it hasn't changed as much as maybe we would like it to, but in other ways it's changed dramatically in terms of some of the newer technologies and just newer ways of managing and selling that didn't exist when I started.
So, okay, this is going to be completely out of the blue. I know you and I didn't talk about this as a question beforehand. Recently, the city of Denver, there was a ballot initiative where an activist group was trying to prevent was trying to close a slaughter plant that's the primary slaughter plant for sheep in the U.S. As a producer, how does that weigh in for you? Is that a plant that affects your business? Was this a win for livestock production overall? Any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. It was a win overall as a whole. I personally don't sell directly to that plant, but its existence affects my business significantly. There's really only three major plants across the U.S. that slaughter or process the majority of lambs, and that's one of them. And if they had been successful in closing that down, I'm not sure how we would make up for that loss of processing capacity in any, you know, short term or even a longer term type of a solution. So that was a huge win for sheep producers. We absolutely need that plant. And though I don't directly sell to it, you know, a lot of my customers do, and it would affect their business, which then in turn affects mine.
Absolutely.
So glad to see that ballot initiative failed.
Well, good news. I had a listener just send me a question. And that was, when you shear, do you sell the wool right away? Is it a degradable product, or can you store it for some time? So that's a pretty astute listener question, just wondering what happens with wool. And I know we're bouncing all over the place, Jeremy, but you've got hands-on experience, literally.
Well, I used to do a weekly radio show, and I love talking with ag reporters because I never know where the questions are going to go. So I've been gotten pretty good at thinking on my feet with some of these things. But that's a great question. Personally, I do. The person that I typically hire to shear my flock buys wool for a wool company. And so he takes it on the day that I shear. And then markets it to that company, and then I get a check on down the road a little while later. Now, there's a number of ways to do that. There are, you know, if I had a finer wool or a higher quality wool breed, I would probably do a different marketing strategy. So you can store it. It's typically stored in bags or bales, and there are groups who will pool their wool together to try to market it that way. We have people that will market individual fleeces, especially some of our smaller flocks where they're trying to capture a little extra value, again, depending on the type of sheep and the type of wool. So you can store it, but you know, I don't know how long you would normally keep it, that it would be good. I haven't really tried that, but it's a great question.
I would call that a good one too, because I know I've heard stories of, you know, if your sheep were out on the range and they weren't being cared for a long time, you know, when you shear them, you can find small critters living in there. And I'm sure that would be a lovely place to nest, as if you just had this big bag of wool. It's wild. And I don't see that very much in the U.S., but like Australia, weird things happen in Australia, you guys. I'm just saying.
What happens in Australia stays in Australia.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Dean, with your question, go ahead.
Jeremy, so do you... do you slaughter the lambs on your property and sell that, or how do you work your situation out there?
Sure. So the majority of my sheep are sold as breeding stock to other flocks. However, I do always have a few that maybe don't quite meet my standards or standards of my customers. I'm fortunate that I live less than 2 miles from a state-inspected locker plant that does a fantastic job processing lamb. So I have all of my lambs, whether I'm using them for our own family or selling them to customers, I typically have them processed there. But I have had folks that have asked to slaughter, have purchased lambs from me, wanted to slaughter on my farm. So in the past, I have occasionally allowed that as well.
Now, have you noticed over the last 10 years, I mean, when I go to stores, it's not easy to find lamb all the time like it is beef and pork. Have you noticed the lamb consumption, has that gone up over the last 10 years or kind of remaining steady? Or
It actually, it has gone up a little bit. The overall consumption is much, much lower than our other red meat species. And so, but in the last, I don't know, handful of years, the various cooking shows, Food Network and things like that have really highlighted lamb. And, mm-hmm. and so we have seen some increases in consumption, particularly with different ethnic communities. And a lot of it is when you get out onto the coasts, you'll see it more likely there. Walmart does often carry lamb, particularly around certain holidays. Otherwise, you know, if you're kind of here in the Midwest, a lot of times you'll be buying it directly from someone if you really want to supply lamb.
And I had it growing up.
Yeah.
And I remember my mom said it was difficult to cook because you could overcook it.
Easily.
So maybe that's why.
So you also need to know that Jeremy's an excellent cook. And he and I, we compare notes on the Twitter Supper Club on Twitter a lot. But with one thing to make mention of, there's a vast difference between lamb and mutton. And I mean, after our bottom of the hour news, we're going to get to talking about the convention that's coming to town with Jeremy. But do you want to describe that, Jeremy, just like by age, why there's such a difference between lamb and mutton and people shouldn't consider them the same thing?
Yeah, so there's a point in the maturity of a lamb where just physiologically they mature. And so it happens, and it's a little bit variable, but sometime around 14 months or so of age, their bodies just change enough that they can look at what's called a break joint in the carcass, and that's what determines whether or not it's still young enough to be considered lamb or if it's now become into the mutton category. And so as the older that lamb gets and becomes mutton, you tend to have a much stronger flavor, a more, for lack of a better word, a more gamey taste. I will say I do know people who prefer that and enjoy that, but most folks are probably more inclined to prefer a lamb carcass versus a mutton carcass, but it just has to do with age, and it happens somewhere in that 14 to 16 months of age range for most sheep. That helps.
It helps a lot, especially when people just ask that question. So, all right, let's catch up with the news. But when we come back, we want to talk about the North Dakota Lamb and Wool Producers Convention that's coming to town and Jeremy's role he's going to play in it and kind of what are they going to do there? I don't think anybody's bringing livestock, but it never hurts to ask. So we'll do that when we return. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Oh my, those are lambs. That's a horrible way to think about the silence of the lambs. So the lambs, are they crying for me?
Yes,
I got the voice to do that today. Okay, so Jeremy, we've been talking with Jeremy Geske as our guest today. And one of the reasons that Jeremy and I have visited about him coming on air had to be with the North Dakota Lamb and Wool Convention. And so, Jeremy, tell us a little bit about that event and why you're coming to town with it as well.
Sure. So maybe if you don't mind, I'll just give a little bit of a backstory.
Sure.
When I first got involved with the Minnesota Lamb and Wool Producers a little over two decades ago, Minnesota had a state sheep specialist. And at some point shortly thereafter, the university made the decision to eliminate that position. And a couple of years later, we were at our Minnesota Lamb and Wool Convention. A number of us that have been politically active and advocating and spending time in D.C. and others. And we'd invited some of our state legislators to our convention, including the chairman of our House Ag Committee. And we kind of cornered them at the social and just explained, the sheep producers in Minnesota, really need a university specialist that they can rely on, that they can get information from, and that sort of thing. And within about 2 weeks, chairman of the A committee called our extension director into a meeting on the House floor and asked her some very pointed questions why there was no state sheep specialist. Mm. Fast forward about a year, and the University of Minnesota and North Dakota State University partnered on a joint sheep specialist position. And so Dr. Travis Hoffman serves in that role, and he's housed at NDSU, but he also has responsibility for Minnesota. And so since that time, every third year, the North Dakota and Minnesota lamb and wool producers hold a joint convention in Fargo, and rather than separate conventions. And so this is now, I don't know, it's the third or fourth time we've done this. I'm getting old, so I forget these things, but it's a great time to get, you know, a large group of producers from two states together. And obviously there's some differences in our production methods, but not a great deal of difference. And so it gives us a chance to kind of pool resources, have a bigger convention.
Sure.
Occasionally we were able to, you know, bring in some more high profile speakers that each of our two organizations probably couldn't afford if we were doing them separately. And so this is one of those joint convention years. I will admit that I have not been as intimately involved in the planning this year as I have in the past. I finally got myself off of a few of the boards I used to serve on. But
he's one of those guys. He doesn't say no.
yeah, very often. I finally am learning. So the convention is coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday. So that's why I'm here, and I'm happy to kind of talk about what's going on if that works for you guys.
Great. And Jeremy, I was talking with Bridget, and she had mentioned something about that you guys have a program where high school kids can adopt a sheep and race it.
It's like a starter flock program.
Is that correct?
So the North Dakota and Minnesota both have starter flock programs. The North Dakota one, there's an application process, and I believe the winners receive like three ewe lambs from a mentoring flock.
Sure.
And then there's some obligation of how they mentor them and what has to happen with that. But it's a good way to get young people started in the sheep business. In Minnesota, we have a similar thing. Ours is a little bit different. We've tried doing that. We're giving sheep. We've also have some groups that will just give money to youth in order to purchase a ewe, and then try to help mentor them in with their projects. So there are a couple things like that are available.
So okay, with that program, when you do the convention, do students, are they encouraged to attend as well? Are there some specific items for the students who are part of those starter flock programs or just really getting into their production enterprises with sheep?
So it's not uncommon to try to, if we can, get those winning students, per se, to come to the convention and just kind of talk about their flock and what they're doing. It just provides good exposure and also helps encourage others to apply. I don't know for sure if it's required by the North Dakota side. On the Minnesota side, we don't require it, but if we can make it happen and get them to the convention, we certainly encourage that.
Oh, I would say that's probably a pretty good spot. And when you mentioned earlier some of the bigger speakers, more of a national stage, who do you see coming in and what are some of the topics that you're talking about right now in sheep production?
Sure. Yeah, so this year, again, so the convention, what we've kind of done the last few times we've done this is we have a Friday that's kind of an optional type tour event. So we'll start out at the NDSU sheep unit at 1 p.m. on Friday. The shepherd out there, Skip, he usually gives us an update on what type of research projects are going on out there, as well as he may have some hands-on activities with the sheep out there at the unit. And then in the middle of the afternoon, 2:30, we'll come into the Peltier complex again for some more kind of optional activities. And then in the evening, 5 o'clock, we'll head into the Ramada Inn, and that's kind of the official start of the program. We have a social hour, a dinner, fundraiser auction, kind of the fun events on Friday night. And then Saturday is from, you know, from 8 until 4 is a full day of seminars and meetings and a trade show and luncheons. The kind of the highlight this year, the main theme of the presentations is on precision livestock technologies and how we can use, you know, we often think of precision ag on the crop side, but what are some things that we can do on the livestock side to incorporate technology? And I know a number of faculty from NDSU will be leading those seminars. And so that's kind of the biggest theme. And of course, we've got our annual meetings and updates from our national groups, the American Sheep Industry Association and the American Lamb Board as well.
How big is your convention? How many folks come in for that?
So typically when we do the joint convention, we're somewhere in that 120 or so attendees. And so it's a decent sized convention for when we do it together.
That's pretty good size and a little bit of fun. I can only imagine sometimes there's got to be some good jokes or some good stories that folks have that they bring. Cause, I mean, anytime you see bankers get together, they have good stories. If you have beef producers get together, they have good stories. So hopefully you have some of those that come to mind for you, Jeremy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll too many stories. We do have, like I said, the Friday night social is a lot of fun. Obviously, the cash bar helps with that fun a little bit, but they'll have a number of lamb cooking demonstrations. Typically, we try to have the chef at the hotel where our convention is. You know, we get some lamb donated by Superior Farms, and then the chef makes a few different dishes for everybody to try, and we try to share those recipes on out to the attendees afterwards, and so. Those things get to be a good time. Obviously, during the fundraiser auction, it's all about having fun. And when we have our event in Minnesota, we have an auctioneer who likes to tell Ole and Lena jokes. And so for every auction item, you get two or three Ole and Lena jokes. So that usually keeps the crowd going.
I would imagine there's quite a few bad jokes.
There's a few, yes.
Yeah, I bet there is.
Yes, they're hard to avoid. So.
Well, Jeremy, we want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. If anybody wants more information on what you do or the convention, where's the best place they could go?
So either of the two state association websites, ours is MNLWP.org is the Minnesota Lamb and Wool site. You can see the agenda there and the registration form there. We have a Facebook page as well. I'm sure North Dakota Lamb and Wool has a similar thing. We do take walk-ins at the door, so if producers haven't registered, they can show up on Friday and pay their fee and certainly participate. I don't know if the hotel rooms are still available, but, you know, certainly check on that as well. The Ramada Inn has been very good to work with. So looking forward to seeing everybody at the convention, and certainly it'll be a good time.
Fantastic. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and best of luck at the convention. Have a good time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And when we come back, we'll do a recap of the weather. Again, a winter storm watch has been issued for the area for later tonight into tomorrow. We'll recap that. And you may have a chance to qualify for our big trip out to Vegas. We'll have more on that coming up after the break. All right. There's your cue to call. We will take caller number four. Caller number four, 701-293-9000 for your chance to go to the Sphere in Las Vegas. All right. So, caller number one, sorry. Caller number two, not quite. Caller number three, you just missed qualifying. That means, hello, what caller do we have on the line here?
I don't know.
You are caller number four. Congratulations. You will go into the drawing here. You qualify for our wonderful trip out to Vegas to see the Eagles. Have you ever been out to the Sphere or to see the Eagles before?
Neither one.
Neither one. All right. All right. Well, we're going to put you on hold here real quick, and our producer will grab your information. So congratulations and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, you bet. All right, Addison, if you could take that. So that's awesome. It's a great trip to even just to go out to Vegas and to see the Sphere. I've never been to the Sphere. I've heard some of the concerts there are just amazing with the light show that they put on and just the CG effects from inside the Sphere. It's
absolutely
supposed to be amazing.
It looks awesome. And I actually have quite a few folks that are headed out there starting this weekend for National Finals Rodeo.
Oh, nice.
So feel free to watch it on the Cowboy Channel this weekend. But there's a lot of folks that head down there to take part in watching, you know, 10 days of great rodeo. It's right. The world championships.
Right.
So it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, let's recap the weather because things are going to be changing.
You're
going
to want to watch that pretty close.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. They are going to be changing as we head into tonight. Now, the rest of today is fine. There were a few light snow showers in the far northern valley in the northwest Minnesota. But other than that, that is moving off to the east and diminishing. So what we're looking at is partly cloudy skies for the rest of the afternoon. And we are looking also at pretty decent weather conditions for today as temperatures should rise up into the 20s and winds will be out of the south at about 10 to 25. Now tonight we'll see steady temperatures, maybe even rise to around freezing by midnight, and then a cold front approaches from the north, and that is going to switch our winds in out of the north as it presses into the valley here from north to south. It'll probably be through the Fargo area by about 3 in the morning or so. We'll see temperatures falling off into the 20s, and then a winter storm watch does go into effect overnight tonight into tomorrow. We'll see maybe a light wintry mix at the onset of this precip. It shouldn't be anything to worry about. And then the bigger threat is going to be we'll see snow showers as the Arctic air pours in tomorrow morning. And originally this was supposed to hold off a little bit until the worst part in the afternoon. But I really think even the morning commute is going to be affected by this with a lot of wind, blowing snow, some falling snow, especially in the morning, and that will last into early afternoon. A half inch to maybe an inch of snow. So the amount of snow is not going to be the big deal. The big deal is going to be wind gusts up to 50 out of the northwest, blowing what snow we have on the ground around. So it's going to be a little messy. Now, if we do see enough freezing areas that do see any wintry mix, it could put a little crust on the snow, which would prevent it from blowing as much. But even with 40 to 50 mile an hour winds, even whatever thin layer of crust that some areas will get, not all areas will, it'll blow that crust right off, and then it's wide open for all that snow to blow around. So something to keep an eye on for tomorrow morning. We will have near zero visibility at times during the daytime hours tomorrow, even into the late overnight hours tonight. So if you have any travel plans tomorrow around the valley, going north or south in the valley, even into lakes country, might want to rethink your plans, hold them off for a day, or get what you need to get done today. I know we were talking.
I've got some too, and I'm already making those amendments.
Yeah, I would just to be on the safe side. I know our boss was planning on traveling west, and I told him you might want to rethink that. Once you get, I don't know, 100 miles west of the valley, things will improve.
But still windy, just less snowfall?
It's still windy, yeah. Okay. But they don't have as much snow. Now, out to Jamestown, you do. You do have that snow to blow around. But once you get west of Jamestown, I think things will improve a little bit more. So, but other than that, it's going to be messy. It's going to be messy around here tomorrow. Again, winter storm watch in effect from Fargo northward through the valley. You go south of Fargo, winter weather advisory. You go out into Lakes Country, DL areas and southward, a winter weather advisory in effect there. So, again, just use caution tomorrow. It's not going to be a pretty day tomorrow for travel.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on those things, and we have a guest that'll be in studio tomorrow. So I'll rely on you. Oh, he's in town, so
okay.
I'll rely on you, so I don't have to worry about me.
No, we'll take care of him.
But
we'll
I do want to slide this in. I've had a number of requests from a story I read this morning on our morning shows, and that is Annika Bio. Is a company that has a novel idea. So for those of us who are custom applicators, or you are a retailer applicator, maybe you're a farmer applying for yourself, when it comes to pesticides, this Annika Bio allows you to take a packet of synthetic biology. It's like a Kool-Aid mix. You put it in your spray tank, and then it's paired with a spray drift insurance that you can buy. And then if there's a drift claim, you can get results on that in weeks, not months. Why does spray drift matter? If you are spraying a field or even a lawn and it gets off target, it goes somewhere where it's not supposed to, you can be liable for that. And it just happens to coincide with the fact that tomorrow is supposed to be pesticide applicator recertification day in Fargo for a number of folks that are supposed to come to town for that. And this is a, probably going to be a fairly talked about product. Again, that's Anika Bio. And they're saying that this synthetic biology in a dry or liquid form has a unique DNA sequence that's traceable on the leaf surface and can help you with drift claims. So
nice.
Look into that or send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com, and I'll help you find more.
Good deal. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. Number one show in the universe. I thought it was just the country, but it's been upgraded. Number one show in the universe, Jay Thomas Show, is coming up next. Don't go anywhere.